Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app, this is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, Gardaí are investigating an incident of alleged intimidation targeting Ukrainian refugees in Falkara. It happened on Friday evening last. A man wearing a balaclava is claimed to have stood outside a building housing refugees, playing Irish rebel music and chanting out, out, out. Donegal TD and Sinn Féin finance spokesperson Piers Doherty has clashed in the Dáil with Tánaiste Micheál Martin on foot of a new report from the Residential Tenancies Board that shows major rent increases. Deputy Doherty told the Tánaiste it showed the government's housing policy is failing. The Tánaiste responded that were Sinn Féin in power, the situation would be worse. Later in the bulletin, Jordan McDade is here with sports news. That's coming up at around 5:15. But we begin with the incident in Falkara on Friday evening last. Gardaí are investigating the incident of alleged intimidation targeting Ukrainian refugees in the town. A man wearing a balaclava is said to have stood outside a building housing refugees, playing Irish rebel music and chanting out, out, out. He's seen in an online video walking in the middle of the road, disrupting traffic. In a statement to Highland Radio News this afternoon, Gardaí confirmed they are investigating all the circumstances of what they describe as a public order incident that's alleged to have occurred on Main Street, Falkara, at approximately 6:10 on Friday evening last. Donegal TD and Sinn Féin finance spokesperson Piers Doherty has clashed in the Dáil with Tánaiste Micheál Martin today on foot of a new report from the Residential Tenancies Board. It shows increases in rent of up of 11% on average for new tenants, with Deputy Doherty describing the figures as shocking, saying that existing tenants are also facing unsustainable increases. He said despite government assurances that a corner has been turned, it's clear that the Housing for All policy is not working.
We're also being fleeced, with existing rents rising by 5% across the state. In my own county of Donegal, existing rents have spiked by 10% in the last year. And this is unsustainable. You tell us that you're making an impact on housing, but it's simply not true. Your plan is failing. The longer that you and your party are in office, the worse things get. Sinn Féin's proposal to ban rent increases would have prevented what we're seeing in this report today.
Well, responding, the Tánaiste said current government policy is the only way to address the issues in a comprehensive way to cries of delusional from Deputy Doherty and his colleagues. Micheál Martin said Sinn Féin's policy of limiting rents and banning increases would reduce the supply of houses for rent and worsen the situation even more.
Your proposal would reduce the availability of housing. And if you reduce supply, the rents will go up even further. Supply is the key to this. Now, you talk about affordability. You opposed the Help to Buy scheme. You'd abolish it. You opposed the First Home scheme. You opposed the grants for dereliction and vacant schemes. You've opposed a hell of a lot. You've opposed new housing schemes across Dublin. On state land, because it didn't contain all social housing. You didn't want affordable housing on certain sites in Dublin, and you opposed it. You've opposed a lot of things, Deputy, which brings me to the conclusion that your policies would make this situation far worse. Disincentivise house building. Far worse they would get. And your policies are overly negative in respect of the housing issue.
Could we please stop shouting?
And you can hear the whole of that exchange on our website, highlandradio.com. Shane McGowan has died at the age of 65. President Michael D. Higgins this afternoon described him as one of music's greatest lyricists. The president added Shane McGowan's words connected with Irish people all over the globe to their culture and history, encompassing so many human emotions in the most poetic of ways. The Pogues frontman died peacefully in the early hours of this morning with his wife and his sister by his side. Police in Derry seized an axe and a machete in, among other items, in the city in the early hours of this morning. It followed an assault in Springtown, reported to police at around 2:30. Responding officers located a man who'd sustained injuries to his hands and arms. He was taken to hospital for treatment. A quantity of suspected stolen goods, including personal and electronic items, were then seized as part of police inquiries following the incident. Police have arrested 2 males and 2 females as part of their inquiries, which are ongoing. The latest vital statistics for Ireland have been published today by the Central Statistics Office. There were 438 births and 315 deaths in County Donegal from the beginning of April to the end of June this year. With more, here's Donna Marie Doherty.
There were 438 births in Donegal in the second quarter of this year. 53% were male and 47% were female. The average age of the mother at the time of the birth was 30.8 years old. 1% of mothers were under the age of 20, 9% were aged 20 to 24, and 16% were 25 to 29, while 38% were aged 30 to 34, 27% were aged 35 to 39, and 8% were over 40 years old. 315 people died in the same time period. 33% were cancer-related deaths, 25% passed away from a disease of the circulatory system, and 8% were that of the respiratory system. 2% were the result of an external injury or poisoning, and the remaining 31% were due to other reasons.
The Justice Minister is hoping to meet with bosses at X, previously known as Twitter, over posts that fuelled last week's riots in Dublin. Gardaí have been examining how social media posts may have played a role. It's emerged Meta and TikTok engaged with Gardaí to prevent the spread of disinformation, but X didn't, and Minister McEntee says she wants to know why.
But I will be seeking to meet with X myself because I think the company have a responsibility to be responsible, and where they did not take down content on Thursday, it added to and I think fuelled some of what happened. So I would like to engage with them.
Donegal County Council is being urged to act now to address safety concerns outside St Columba's National School at Ballylast in Lifford. There has been a speeding issue outside the school for some time, with several debates in the Donegal County Council Chamber and also at local municipal district meetings. Several discussions also on the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio and elsewhere. However, Councillor Gary Doherty told a municipal district meeting this week that works to facilitate the Lifford Castle Finn Greenway are now taking place outside the school. He says we're potentially in a now or never situation.
The issue of Ballylast National School is something that's been ongoing for a number of years, and it's been raised by countless elected representatives at this stage, and it's continuously raised at our municipal district meetings. There is an issue there. There's a safety concern for parents and motorists at the school there on the main road. That's on the main national primary road, and it's a very fast road. Traffic does go very quickly past the school. But now that the greenway works, the Lifford Castle Fun Greenway, those works are now outside the school, and there's ongoing works to clear away ditches and hedges on both sides of the road there at Ballylast. So I think, look, now is the time for Donegal County Council to be acting to make that safer.
Were you told anything at the meeting that will give you confidence that something will be done in the short term?
What the council have said is that the Greenways team was on site and met with the principal of Ballylast National School on Monday, but that's not good enough. I need the council to go further. We need a firm commitment from the council right now that they're going to meet with the principal and with representatives of the school on site, and that they're going to work between the two council departments, between the Greenway project and the roads department, and come up with a solution. Now that there are actually diggers right outside the school, we need to be capitalising on that and making it safe for everybody that's using the school, and indeed motorists who are using that road.
And that was Councillor Gary Doherty. A Lifford area councillor says he's been given assurances that the building of a new community hospital on a greenfield site at Lifford Common remains a priority, and he's hopeful of progress next year. Councillor Jerry Crawford says he had discussions with a number of senior HSE officials at the turning of the sod for the new community hospital in Letterkenny on Friday last, and he's encouraged by the responses he received. Councillor Crawford says with the council about to commence works to provide roads and services at the Lifford Common site, things are moving in the right direction.
I'm being told in very positive terms that yes, that is something that will happen, and it will happen as quickly as possible. I've taken the opportunity over the summer to speak to senior management, and I did take the opportunity that presented itself on Friday last in Letterkenny, and I've been reassured by senior management, yep, that is proceeding well. It's well on the top of their agenda and with the department.
Now, Donegal County Council begins preparatory and enable works on Lifford Common early next year. That effectively means that the HSC will have available to it within a matter of months a serviced, prepared and ready site. That puts it in prime position to start moving forward with plans, and doing so relatively quickly.
That would be correct, because the site as it stands at the minute is a greenfield, The consent that was obtained from Bord Pleanála back in July was to allow the enabling of infrastructure at the lands Clifford Common, with these works commencing in April 24 and hopefully completed by November 24. That's all pointing in the right direction. I think nature has taught us all a very big lesson from the COVID restrictions and the fact that we do need hospitals such as the one in Letterkenny and the one in Lifford as well and in the other areas. So I think we've been taught a lesson, and as from what I can see, the HSE is seriously on the right road to provide that facility in Lifford.
And that was Councillor Gerry Crawford. And Donegal County Council is to join with Leitrim County Council in a delegation seeking funding for safety works on a bridge between the two counties. Raising the issue, Councillor Michael McMahon said, while the bridge is just on the Leitrim side, it's used by motorists from both counties. Leitrim County Council received an allocation this year for preliminary feasibility and design work. It's now asking that Donegal County Council join them in seeking a delegation to the Transport Minister. Well, Councillor McMahon says it's vital that both councils work together.
It's a very, very old bridge. There's been quite a number of accidents, and thanks be to God there's been no fatality on it. But it's a very, very dangerous bridge, and I would like it to be that the government, the department would see fit to release the money for to get the design and to get the bridge started working on it. People going to Manor Hamilton and going to Kinloch and going up into that part of Leitrim use that bridge, and vice versa. People coming in from Kinloch and from Manor Hamilton and the Rosinver and the surrounding areas coming into Bundoran use the bridge.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports, with great gift ideas for everyone on your list this Christmas, in-store and online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 5:15. Good evening, Jordan McDade.
Good evening. We start with soccer. Interim head coach Eileen Gleeson says the Republic of Ireland squad are determined to finish their Women's Nation League campaign strongly. They're already assured of promotion to League A and at least a Euro playoff ahead of tomorrow's visit of Hungary to Tallaght Stadium. But Gleeson has warned her team against taking their collective foot off the accelerator.
I don't think there's anyone in this squad that thinks we're coming in now and we're going to have a little, you know, lie back and chill and not be at our best for these games, because we will always be respectful to the opposition we've developed, but no doubt Hungary have developed through the campaign, and Northern Ireland have developed with their new coach as well.
Meanwhile, Evan Ferguson starts for Brighton, and Bray Wanderers Academy product Lee Kavanagh is on the bench for their Europa League fixture away to AEK Athens. Kick-off in Greece's capital is at 5:45. Conor Coventry is among the West Ham subs for Group A's fixture away to Bakka Topola, and Kevin Kelleher will make his third consecutive Europa League start when Liverpool play LASK from 8. And Rangers are looking to keep their hopes alive in the knockout stage with the Ares visiting Ibrox. In the Conference League, an Aston Villa win at home to Legia Warsaw guarantees them progression, while Aberdeen are playing only for pride in Helsinki as they take on HGK. Locally, there's one game in the Glencairn Division 1 this evening. Kildrum Tiger Reserves welcome Strand Rovers Reserves from 7:45. In rugby, Ollie Yeager will make his Munster debut off the bench tomorrow night. The recent arrived tight head has been named among the replacements for Glasgow Warriors' visit to Musgrave Park. Alex Nakaville returns to Insight Centre, and one of three changes from the defeat to Leinster. Sean O'Brien is named on the wing, and Edwin Idogbo is restored to second row. On to golf. Tiger Woods is back on a competitive golf course for the first time since April. He's playing the first hole of his opening round at the Hero World Challenge in the Bahamas. Woods hasn't played competitively since withdrawing from this year's Masters. Elsewhere, Mark Parr and Conor Brasil have made encouraging starts to the Australian Open. They're 5-under and 4-under par respectively after today's first round. Tom McKibben is 1-over. The clubhouse leader in Sydney is held by Cameron Davis on 9-under par. Finally, in the score this evening after the 7pm news, Oisin Kelly speaks with Richard Kerr on the awarding of the British Superstock Championship this week. We hear from Kevin McHugh following the confirmation that he'll be a part of the Harps coaching staff, and Donegal jockey Oisin Orr tells us what's next after a successful win in Bahrain with Alex Ferguson. All on the score after the 7pm news. That's your sport.
Thank you very much indeed, Jordan. Well, it's a Thursday, which means it's time for Farming News and Views, and we say good evening to Chris Ashmore.
Hello, good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. The Agri-Climate Rural Environment Scheme, known as ACRES, was launched by the Department of Agriculture, Food and the Marine back in autumn 2022, with the aim to deliver significant long-term environmental improvements through two approaches, ACRES Cooperation and ACRES General. ACRES Cooperation is open to farmers in defined high-priority geographical areas, known as the CP Zones, who opt to undertake a variety of environmental-related measures on their lands. Around 2,800 Donegal farmers have joined the ACRES Cooperation Project, ACRES CP, with payments of up to €10,500 per annum available. Well, to find out more, I've been speaking with Inishowen-based Henry O'Donnell, Programme Manager, ACRES Donegal CP.
The new ACRES scheme has two streams for applicants. One is ACRES General, and then there's this ACRES CP, or cooperation stream. And that's basically for farmers that have more environmentally important land, whether that's because of, you know, endangered species or water quality issues, or there's a whole range of issues that have created this map of Donegal, which is the CP area. And what's happening there is these farmers, because their land is more important environmentally, they've been given the option to do more and draw down more funding. And, you know, our team has been placed in charge of this extra cooperation section. And, you know, we're going to be dealing directly with farmers to try and encourage them to do more and to draw down more income from ACRES. And, you know, we've been tasked with, you know, delivering this local element to it, because they have found through the EIPs and various schemes in the last CAP that farmers engaged much better with local teams that knew their area and know their type of farming. And, you know, we have developed measures that make sense for farmers in Donegal. You know, we have set up offices in Carndonagh and Inishowen, in Letterkenny and in Donegal Town. And, you know, we have established a team of at the moment, 12 people, and have been out and about among the farming community, explaining to them what ACRES CP means and explaining how they can do more and earn more income from ACRES. We have had meetings all over the county. We have joined on to advisors who are providing training for farmers and ACRES. And, you know, we have attended a lot of those meetings. We're really trying to disseminate out how this is going to work. And that has been a big task in 2023.
And what has the feedback been to date?
Farmers are looking at this. Is this an opportunity, you know, to add to their income and, you know, to farm sustainably? So, you know, there has been a massive uptick. 73% of the farmers in the CP mapped area have actually joined ACRES already. There's a massive appetite for it. And now we need to explain to farmers how it works, because, you know, there's a big element of results-based payments in this, where farmers are paid on the environmental quality of their land, according to scorecards that advisors and that we have used.
The powers that be will want to make sure that it's money well spent. So in terms of inspections and just checking, are people doing what they say they are doing? How does that all work?
This scheme, 100% administered by the Department of Agriculture. There's the exact same checking mechanism that there is with all other schemes. I suppose the difference being is the variation in payments farmers can achieve. I think the Department of Agriculture see this as a way of justifying future CAP payments, because, you know, there will be measurable improvements. And, you know, whereas in GLAS and some of the agri-environment schemes before, the consensus is there hasn't been much improvement, or if there has, it hasn't been able to be measured. What we're trying to do is future-proof the CAP here, that when it comes to be reviewed in 2028 again, that we can justify drawing down $1.5 billion. Whereas if there's no results of agri-environment schemes, we would face the prospect of, you know, the budget being cut. It's much more measurable, and it'll be much more obvious that the actual returns as regards the taxpayer for acres.
And can you give us maybe a couple of examples of what are probably the more popular initiatives that farmers are having to put in place?
Well, you know, there's a huge emphasis on water quality and acres, and, you know, rightly so. You know, one aspect is to protect some of the pristine waters we already have. And, you know, looking forward then, it's to try and improve some of the ones that may not be totally up to standard. So, you know, there's a lot of measures there that farmers can do as regards protecting water courses from animals. And, you know, on that basis, an acre CP, you know, we're encouraging farmers to look at maybe fencing off riparian zones along water courses. And because they have done that, then the follow-on will be we'll support them and fund them, you know, to put in drinkers alternative supplies of water, because obviously we have encouraged them to stay out of the stream. So there's measures like that around water quality, biodiversity, a huge issue. We're looking at hedgerows on farms. We want to encourage more hedgerows. We want to encourage better management of what's there, rejuvenation of damaged hedgerows, massive area there. And then, you know, generally on the area-based payments on the land, you know, farmers have a choice in acres. They can farm the land very intensively if they want, but, you know, they can't expect that they'll get much of an agri-environment payment on it. But, you know, if they farm the land for nature in a more extensive way, you know, they have control of that, you know, reduced inputs and, you know, less chemicals used. You know, their score will go up and they'll achieve a higher acres payment. You know, so there's lots that farmers can do. You know, we're very conscious, you know, we have a number of endangered species in Donegal, you know, like the curlew and the corncrake. You know, there's measures we're encouraging farmers that actually own the land where some of these nest sites are, you know, to do more to encourage, you know, more breeding. And, you know, we pay farmers to do actions around that as well.
So looking ahead to 2024, what's coming down the track?
Yeah, well, I suppose the important thing for the farming community is that we hope that farmers' acres payments will be released by the department in the next week or two. And, you know, that's really when the reality of acres will be seen by farmers. You know, they see the income from it and they'll see how their land has performed. You know, then for 2024, you know, there'll be windows open for applications for these additional measures. We call them non-productive investments. And, you know, we'll be encouraging farmers to draw down additional money, which they'll get paid to do actions, and it'll also improve their results-based scores, you know, by carrying out actions that maybe have brought down, to repair things that maybe have brought down their score. So, you know, we're looking forward to 24, to getting out among the farming community again. And, you know, it's a new departure for farmers, and, you know, they need this explained to them in detail. And, you know, we hope to be out and about and doing that, and, you know, engaging directly with farmers ourselves. You know, at the moment, a lot of the activity has been between the farmer and their advisor. And we know advisors are very busy with a lot of other schemes. And, you know, we need to assist advisors as well, you know, to encourage their clients to draw down more income and do more of these good measures to improve the environment we live in.
Now, it's early days yet, but typically, do we know sort of what sort of average payment will be paid out to farmers in the county?
Well, the Department of Agriculture, you know, have put out very, well, basic figures, and they can see that there should be, in 2023, an average of sort of €5,000. Now, an acre CP in 2024, your farmers will have an opportunity to increase that very substantially, and, you know, we hope to do. So that's our objective for 2024.
And that was Henry O'Donnell, Programme Manager's Acres Donegal CP. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Looking now at the weather forecast, it'll be very cold tonight with widespread sharp to severe frost and icy stretches, dry and clear across most areas to begin. But some scattered wintry showers will push their way in with a dusting of snow possible over higher ground. Overnight lows -2 to -4 degrees Celsius. Light northerly or variable breezes with some patches of mist or fog also developing overnight. Any frost, ice and mist or fog will gradually clear tomorrow morning, giving way to a mostly dry day with sunny spells mixed with scattered wintry showers. A temporary dusting of snow is also possible locally. The first day of the meteorological winter tomorrow will be very cold with highs of 3 to 5 degrees Celsius, light northerly or variable breezes. Just to remind you that Meteirin have issued a yellow warning for ice and frost. That is in effect at the moment. It remains in effect until midday tomorrow. And of course, Donegal County Council has confirmed it will be gridding all roads on the Donegal Maintenance Programme map. We're back with news again at 6 o'clock. Don't forget, of course, you can check on all today's news on our website, highlandradio.com. But for now, from the news team, have a very good evening. The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 30th of November. The death has taken place in Salford, Manchester, England, of Rosaline Tierney, née Hirrell, formerly of Tulnaree, Carndonagh. Her remains will repose at her brother Peter Hirrell's residence tomorrow. The house is private, please. Removal from there on Saturday morning at 10:30. Going to the Church of the Sacred Heart, Carndonagh, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The funeral mass can be viewed on churchmedia.tv. The death has taken place of Dolores McCormick, née French, 19 Carnanban Road, Dungiven, County Derry. Reposing at her late home with family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. Funeral on Saturday, leaving her late home at 1:15 for Requiem Mass at 2 o'clock in St Joseph's Church, Banagher, which can be viewed at banagherparish.com. Interment afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Marie Curie or Cancer Research UK Lung Screening, care of McLaughlin Funeral Directors, Dungiven. The death has taken place of Nellie Gallagher, Strachina, Derry Beg. Her remains will repose at her nephew Eamon's home today for family and friends only, and tomorrow Friday at Rorty's Funeral Home, Derry Beg, from 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. Rosary nightly at 8. Funeral Mass on Saturday in St Mary's Church, Derry Beg, at 11 o'clock, with interment afterwards in Maharagallan Cemetery. The Funeral Mass can be viewed live on Kieran Rorty Funeral Director's Facebook page. The death has taken place of Nora Russell, Chirargus, Church Hill, Letterkenny. Her remains will repose at her daughter Ruth and son-in-law Terence McClintock's home, Ballybow Convoy, from 6 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there on Saturday at 12:30 for 2 o'clock funeral service in St Columba's Church, Church Hill, followed by burial in the family plot in Garden Cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu to Donegal Cancer Support Centre, care of any family member or Terence McClintock, Funeral Director. The death has taken place of Teresa O'Kane, née Gorman, 4 Marshall's Row, Sion Mills, reposing at her home. Funeral from there tomorrow evening at 5:45 to St Teresa's Church, Sion Mills. Requiem Mass on Saturday afternoon at 12:30. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The Requiem Mass can be viewed via the parish webcam. The death has taken place of Tommy Doherty, Upper Tyrone, Moville. Removal today at 6 o'clock from Liam Collins' funeral home, Carndonagh, going to his home. Tommy's funeral mass will take place on Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock in St Columba's Church, Ballinacrae, Lakemie, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to Nazareth House Fawn Patients Comfort Fund, care of any family member. The death has taken place of Marion Ramsey, Fawn and Ahon, Milford. Wake tomorrow from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. with Requiem Mass on Saturday morning at 11 in St Peter's Church, Milford. Burial afterwards in Bank Cemetery. The Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. The death has occurred of Edward O'Donnell, Arranmore Island. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral Mass on Saturday morning at 11 in St Cronus Church, Arranmore, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to Dunloe District Hospital and RNLI. The death has taken place of Margaret Tai, née McAteer, 52 Fountain Street, Strabann, reposing at her home. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 9:20 for Requiem Mass in the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Strabann, at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in Strabann Cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live on mcnmedia.tv. The death has taken place in Birmingham of Claire Devine, formerly of Five Acres and Brookvale, Strabann, reposing at Quigley's Funeral Home, Strabann, from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock tomorrow evening. Funeral leaving Quigley's on Saturday morning at 10:15 for Requiem Mass in St Patrick's Church, Murlock, Lifford, at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Kevin Bell Repatriation Trust, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. The Requiem Mass can be viewed at clonleyparish.com. And the death has occurred in her 104th year of Kathleen O'Donnell, Main Street, Killybegs, formerly of Balnalee, County Longford. Remains reposing at her late residence at Huey's Bar, Main Street, Killybegs, until 10 o'clock this evening. Removal tomorrow morning at 10:30 to St Mary of the Visitation Church, Killybegs, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass with burial afterwards in the local cemetery. Family time, please, before the funeral tomorrow. The Mass will be streamed on mcnmedia.tv. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Patients Comfort Fund at Orris O'Donnell Nursing Home at Milford, care of any family member, or McBrearty Funeral Directors. For family information and more detail regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.